Well, good morning, everybody. We're getting ready to start our services here today. So happy that you are here with us. We have a few songs that we're going to play, and we'll pray together. The church is about empty, but it's still beautiful, and I can't wait till you're all back here with us here today. The first song we got is "Praise God from Whom All Blessings Flow."
From whom all blessings flow, praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Amen, amen. Let's start off with a word of prayer. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for just watching after us, Lord, and giving us that confidence and assurance that we're not walking this walk on our own, that you are with us. In fact, you are carrying us. How much joy can we have in those circumstances, these circumstances, knowing that you're right there with us? Father God, I ask that you be with every one of our church family members and our neighbors too, as we're now trying to figure out our way ahead. Be with us, Lord, as now we dig a little deeper into your precious word. And it's in your precious name. As you taught us to pray, we pray now. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now let's sing together the first song, Nothing But Blood.
Wash away my sin, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. Oh, no other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon this will see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. Oh, no other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. Oh, no other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Good morning, church family. I am glad that you guys get to see my smiling face this morning. I'm sad that I don't get to see yours, but know that you guys are in my prayers, you guys are in my heart. And I truly, truly pray that you would take this time to, you know, love and grow with our family. Not based out of fear. That being said, Pastor Jerry has asked me to read Psalm 91 for you guys this morning. So, here we go. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the flowers and the snares or from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent, for he will command your angels concerning you to guard you in your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon a lion and the cobra, and you will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him, I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. What a beautiful song written by King David in this time of absolute fear in so many people's eyes around us. This is something that has never happened before in our lifetime. Hopefully it never will again either. I also want to read Romans chapter 8, verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing to the glory that is to be revealed to us. That's a promise that the Apostle Paul helps to remind us. I find that very comforting and beautiful and encouraging reminder. Stay clean, stay safe, guys. I love you.
Okay, we'll sing the next song, which is I Hear the Savior Say. I Hear the Savior Say. Sing with me, please. The Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thy alone can change a leopard's spots and melt my heart of stone. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. For nothing good have I, whereby thy grace to claim. I'll wash my canons white in blood of Calvary's lamb. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain, he washed me white as snow. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. We are going through now this book of Mark, and we have been working on this book of Mark now for about a month and a half, 2 months, something like that, and now we find ourselves in Mark 10. We are going through some pretty tough times right now in our lives. There have been so many drastic changes, it seems, these days, from our work to our home life due to this coronavirus. And I am but confident, though, that this will not be just a short duration event. So buckle up, dear church, buckle up and stand firm in the faith, knowing that God is in control. This is one of those times that we will mark in history books of our lives as the most significant event indeed. However, the Bible reassures us over and over again that as Christians, we have nothing to fear. We have everlasting hope to cling to, that Jesus Christ and heaven is our ultimate reward. So take heart. Have hope, dear Christian. Have hope. But having said that, the best response to these dynamics we are facing right now is to offer the world a stable and content persona, if you will, that might cause others to consider the hope of the gospel for which we endeavor to be living out of. So today's message is not one of fear or trepidation or panic, but instead we will continue on in Scripture as we have been doing, going through the books of Mark to see and learn about Jesus, who is our rock and our Redeemer. So if you would, please turn to Mark 10:32. Mark 10:32 is where we're going to start today, of God's inspired and His infallible and His living Word. But first, let's start with a prayer. Father God, we come before You today in humble adoration, recognizing that You are our rock and our Savior. We ask, Lord, that You be with us here today as we dig a little deeper in Your Word, and Lord, so we can apply it to our lives and then show that to the world. Lord, we love You, and it's in Your precious name we pray. And everybody says, amen, amen. Amen. So last week, to catch you up, we read about the rich young ruler and how he aspired to acquire his salvation. But when Jesus suggested that for him it would be necessary for him to give up his fortune, he sadly instead just walked away. Afterwards, the disciple asked Jesus about this as they too were counting the cost, if you will, of their own salvation. Verse 26, last week we read what says, they were even more astonished, saying one to another, then who can be saved? Looking at them, Jesus said, with man it is impossible, but not with God, because all things are possible with God. Jesus told them that they should expect to be persecuted, but they will have eternal life in the age to come. Then in verse 31, it concluded last week with Jesus saying, but many who are first will be last, and last first. He said this because, I would argue, he knew that their pride, the disciples' pride, was again going to be something that they would continue to wrestle with. And that is what we are dealing with in our scripture verses again today. That thing called pride. You've heard before the quote that says, pride goeth before the fall. Well, that's actually from the book of Proverbs 16:18, where King Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, wrote, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty mind before a fall. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty mind before the fall. Something we all should learn to heed indeed. Our verses today, though, continue now in Mark 10:32. Mark 10:32, it says, they were on the road going to Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking ahead of them. The disciples were astonished, but those who followed him were afraid. Taking the 12 aside again, he began to tell them things that would happen to him. See, we are going up to Jerusalem. The Son of Man will be handed over to the chief of priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death. Then they will hand him over to the Gentiles, and they will mock him, spit on him, flog him, kill him, and he will rise after 3 days. Well, because Jesus had just spoken to them about facing persecution, the disciples were anxious and they were astonished at what they thought that awaited them ahead in Jerusalem. The fear of the unknown. Many would argue that is the worst kind of fear at all. It's something that we can't well control, and it gets out of hand sometimes. Most people seem to exaggerate the negative possibilities in their mind, and it causes them much stress. And that is certainly applied to disciples then, and I would bet it also applies to many of you here today. But Jesus' death and resurrection should come at no surprise to the disciples. Here, clearly explained by Jesus to them what was going to happen to them shortly. Unfortunately, I believe they didn't really hear what Jesus was saying. Jesus said he was the Messiah, but they thought the Messiah would be a conquering king. He spoke to them about the resurrection, but they only heard the words about his death. But the consequences of what Jesus was presenting to them was more than what they could handle, both in their brain and in their spirit. But we know now that everything Jesus said did come to pass, and in that we can have much comfort. Verse 35 continues. It says, James and John, the son of Zebedee, approached him and said, teacher, we want you to do whatever we ask you. What do you want me to do for you? He asked them. They answered him, "Allow us to sit at your right and your left." Jesus said to them, "You don't know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup I drink or to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" Now, this request of James and John are also mentioned in Matthew 20. However, Matthew's version of it also mentions their mother, Salome, had requested the same thing of Jesus. She wanted her sons to be important in God's kingdom yet to come. Just like most many other parents would want success for their children, that's what Salome wanted for James and John. I love, though, how they first asked this question of Jesus. Much like the children might ask their parents for something they know they normally wouldn't grant. I remember my own children asking me this exact same question in the same fashion. "Dad, we want you to do what we ask, okay? Just say yes, Dad, just say yes." And sometimes out of fun, I would say, "Okay," but then later on have to pull back on that because it really wasn't prudent. Have you ever been there? I'm sure you have. Do you think that the disciples actually would have expected a yes from Jesus? I couldn't imagine asking that of Jesus. "Give me anything I ask, Lord. Is that okay? Just don't worry about what it is. Just give me what I want, okay?" I doubt it. Although in Matthew 7:7, Jesus did say, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receive. He who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened." But Jesus also said, if you remember, "If you ask in my name or according to God's will, then it will be granted." However, we will see that it was not the case for the disciples back then. Sadly, they were upset, but that's the way it goes sometimes. They asked if they could sit at Jesus' right hand and his left hand in heaven. In other words, they wanted the positions of the highest prominence and honor besides the throne of Jesus for all of eternity. That was a monumental request indeed. Verse 39 continues, it says, "We are able," remember, because Jesus asked them, "Are you able?" He says, "We are able," they told him. Jesus said to them, "You will drink from the cup I drink. You will be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. But to sit at my right and my left is not mine to give. Instead, it is for those whom it has been prepared." Pause there. The cup and the baptism of Jesus was referring to here infers the burden and the persecution that Jesus was about to undertake. It is true the disciples did, in fact, take a huge responsibility of leading the church after Jesus ascended into heaven. They also, if you remember, took on the leadership of the church, and they were severely persecuted, and many of them died like Jesus did on the cross, or they were hung or beheaded. So horrible deaths. Jesus knew that, and he didn't want that for them. But although Christ is the blessing giver, not necessarily by the way of favor to anyone who asks, but according to his eternal and unadulterable principles laid down by the Father, Jesus shows them and us that it isn't prudent to always gratify our every desire, especially the ones that are rooted in sin and pride and greed. Jesus knows that some of the requests would actually ruin us and them if granted. He loves us, and like any good parent, he gives his children what is good for them according to his will and his desires for us to be satisfied, for us to be satisfied with what he gives us. Verse 41 continues. It says, "When the 10 disciples heard this," what John and James had said, "they began to be indignant to James and John. Jesus called them over and said to them, 'You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord over them, and those in high positions act as tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. On the contrary, whoever wants to be great amongst you will be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you will be slaves to all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as ransom for many. The title of this message today is Suffering Servant Status. Suffering Servant Status. The Son of Man, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, who was born a man, of a man, as a baby, did not come to be served. That's what Jesus is telling them. Jesus was a supreme example of what is called frequently servant leadership. Servant leadership. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, relinquished his privileges and gave up his life as a selfless sacrifice in serving others. And the ransom mentioned in this last verse, the ransom was the price Jesus paid to Father God to satisfy his justice and holy wrath against our self-given sin. Paying it all, according to 1 Peter 2:24, Jesus bore our sins. He bore our sins in his body on the cross at Calvary. And for that, we have a lot to be thankful for. Jesus alone had achieved truly that suffering servant status. And for that, we have much to be thankful for. As Christ followers, we should all aspire to be more and more like him. We should want to be more and more like him. We should want to be a servant leader like he so well demonstrated. A servant leader seeks to invest themselves into the life of others. And that's what he was doing that day. As a servant leader, we should be pouring into the people God puts in our path. Jesus demonstrated, and we should be demonstrating the same if we truly believe. A servant leader, his willingness or her willingness to give themselves to meet other people's needs, not necessarily the wants, though, as the disciples presented in this particular request. According to Paul, as written in Ephesians 4:12, the focal point of Christian servant leadership within the church is to prepare God's people for the works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. So just as Jesus asked his disciples, "Are you able to drink the cup that I drink or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with?" The question for us to answer is, will you choose this day to stand up and become a Christian servant leader like Jesus so well demonstrated? Are you willing to be that leader that Jesus aspired and demonstrated? So in that regard, today is a difficult day. It's only the second day, I believe, of now what we have in this lockdown situation in Illinois. It's going to be tough. But as a Christian, it's time for us to stand up. We're to obey our officials that God put in there for us, but at the same time, use this time to get into the family mechanism and the neighborly mechanism and make a difference for Christ. That is his will for you. There's probably been no other time in our lifetime, our lifespan, that we've had this opportunity to show Christ in action. So raise up your voices to get along, help your neighbor, and to live a life that shows his contentment, his joy, despite the persecution. Remember all the persecution that Paul endured over the years? Yeah, he says, "I count it all joy. I count it all joy, because with every one of these circumstances, it's given me another opportunity to show what I believe in, who I believe in." And that's what Jesus wants for you today. So in that regard, let's close. Would you please stand? This is a short sermon today. And we'll close with prayer. Father God, this is a time that we all come together, Lord, in your humble circumstances. There's nothing out of your control. There's nothing that you don't know. There's nothing, Lord, that you have not prepared for us in advance. Lord, thank you, Lord, for your precious word, because it gives us something to grasp hold of in these difficult circumstances. Lord, we ask that you continue to bless First Baptist Church Orion and all of our church friends, Lord, out there that are currently also trying to figure out how to deliver their messages. Lord, help them be the church in this new circumstance that we're dealing with. Father God, look after us and show us the way, what we ought to be doing. Loving on our neighbors in a way that maybe we've never considered before. Lord, it's your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Sing with me one verse of Amazing Grace.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Here's a closing verse for you, ladies and gentlemen. But thanks be to God who always puts us on display in Christ and through us spreads the aroma of the knowledge of Him in every place. 2 Corinthians 2:14. God be with you, my friends. God keep you. May God hold you together until we meet again. We'll try this again next Sunday. I hope you can join us. And if you need anything, don't hesitate to reach out and let us know. God bless you. Have a good day.